Well, we're still going to be looking into our wilderness wanderings, coming to the end of this part of the wanderings. Last week, if you can remember, we saw Balaam's counsel to Balak, king of Moab, and how Balaam devised a plan to cause Israel to sin against the Lord and then thus suffer the judgment. And because of that, Balaam was then able to get that money that was promised to him. And that was in Numbers chapter 25. Now, if you were to do a summary of going through the book of Numbers, what you would discover is that in Numbers chapter 1, the children of Israel are at Mount Sinai, and the Lord tells them to number the people from 20 years and older. And so that's in Numbers chapter 1, there at Mount Sinai. And then by chapter 14, they were taken to the promised land, yet they were too afraid to enter into the land. And so it was in that 14th chapter where God promised that all who were 20 years and older would not get to see the promised land, but they would have to die in the wilderness. And then only 12 chapters later, so it's not very long, but 12 chapters later, in chapter 26, 40 years have passed. So a lot of things happened that we're not told about, but 40 years have passed, and we're told that all those who were 20 years and older had died by that stage, except for Joshua and Caleb, and Moses was just about to die. And by Numbers chapter 27, verse 12, we will see how they are getting ready for the promised land. And actually, Deuteronomy also talks about that as well. It's all about getting ready to go into the land. But there's something in Numbers 27, and we'll see it in Deuteronomy as well, that took place when they were preparing to go into the land that I want us to look at tonight. And it has to do with Moses. We know that Moses sinned against the Lord in a very public way, where he smote the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And because of that, God said, you weren't going to be able to enter the promised land. And so there were some consequences for his actions. And now these consequences were about to be realized. Yes, his sin had happened many years ago. Moses had done many good things since that time as well. But now it was time to bear the consequences for his sin. And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. And so before we go on any further, let's commit our time to the Lord. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we can have a look at this man Moses, and we know that you were able to use him to do many wonderful and exciting things. Yet we are reminded here tonight that he was still a man with passions and that could cause him to sin, just as we learnt this morning. And Lord, because of that came consequences, and he was not immune to that. And Lord, as we stop and we consider this man tonight and your dealings with him and this concept or this topic of consequences, we certainly do ask that you will be the one who reminds us of things we need to change. Lord, help us to understand, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so consequences, it's the key topic for tonight. What are consequences? If you were to look up in a dictionary, you would find something like this. I'm not sure which dictionary I got this out of, but it says, the effect or result or outcome of something occurring earlier. So the result or outcome of something occurring earlier. And they use the example, the accident was the consequence of reckless driving. So someone was recklessly driving, and what were the consequences of that? An accident. You know, I would describe consequences like this. something that usually occurs from a particular action. Something that usually occurs, doesn't always, but usually occurs from a particular action. Or, if you want to go even more simple than that, if you do this, most likely this will happen, all right? If you do this, most likely this will happen. And we know, not just from God's word, but just from life, there are permanent consequences from actions, and sometimes there are temporary consequences from actions. But often we don't get to choose if the consequences for our actions are permanent or if they are temporary. That's often out of our hands. And so don't do something thinking it's only going to be a temporal or a temporary consequence. You don't know if that is the case. Now, there are what we call natural laws put in place in the universe by God that he has designed that will bring certain consequences. You see, there are different reasons or different types of consequences. There are the natural laws that bring about consequences. For example, if you put your hand on a hot plate, God has designed that our body is not able to withstand a certain amount of heat. And so we understand that the consequence of putting your hand on a hot plate is you're going to get burnt and possibly even scar. And so that's just design. God hasn't designed our body to withstand great heat. You know, if you jump off a 10-story building, the law of gravity determines that our body will hit the ground with more force than our body is designed to cope with. And the consequences of jumping off a 10-story building is usually death. And if you're wondering, that's a permanent consequence, right? It's not a temporary one. And so there are universal laws that can bring about consequences. There are also man-made rules that bring consequences. If you rob a bank, generally, the consequence, if you get caught, is there will be prison term. If you go through a red light that has a camera on it, the consequence of that usually is a speeding ticket. Or not a speeding ticket, a going through a red light ticket. There are also consequences that come from continual actions. And so there are certain things, if you do it repeatedly, certain consequences will usually come. And that's why smoking is so dangerous. If you continually smoke, generally there are various consequences that can come from that. There is lung cancer, there are strokes and heart disease and so on. The consequence of regularly lying is that it can make people not trust you. They won't put you in a position of trust. They doubt what you're saying. And so when there is continual action, a repetitive strain, so to speak, there are certain consequences that will come because of that. And then there is also what we call God's judgment, where he brings about consequences. He said to Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the consequence of that is going to be death. And so he made sure that came to pass. He has said, if you reject my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior, well then the consequence of that will be eternal punishment in hell. And he is the one who makes that come to pass. And as believers, we are not free from consequences, all sorts. We are bound by the natural laws that God has put in place in the universe. We get a burnt hand just as much as anybody else. We are bound by the man-made rules as well. We are bound by the effects of continual actions, and we are bound by God's dealings with us as well, where he'll say, I will bring this to pass if you do this. You know, for example, God says in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He has shown us that there are consequences if we sow to the flesh And if we sow to the Spirit, one's a good consequence and one's a bad consequence. And it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian. If you live a life full of sinful behavior, well, then the natural flow from this will be corruption in various ways. It will corrupt sometimes our body, sometimes our mind, sometimes our relationships. It will corrupt our church, our workplace, our marriage. The consequence of fleshly sinful behavior brings about corruption. Generally, it's a regular thing. But that's what God says. Where he also says that there are times when he will make sure consequences come. You know, we know that verse in Hebrews 12, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." And so we see from Scripture that God will bring about chastisement and consequences to particular actions in our life. And chastisement in his children is sometimes mild, sometimes it's severe, sometimes it's temporary, sometimes it's permanent. And this will all depend on what our loving Heavenly Father believes is best for us. And so as believers, we can't avoid consequences. And not even Moses, this great man of God, who spoke to God like no other man spoke to God, could escape the consequences of his actions as well. And we discover that while Israel was getting ready to enter into the land of promise, we have several accounts of God's tender dealings with his faithful servant as he prepared him for death. And for the rest of the night, what I want to look at is God's attitude towards Moses during this time of consequences being realized, and also very briefly at the end, look at Moses' attitude as well. Because I believe we have a wonderful example of how we should respond when we suffer consequences for our actions. And there are some very good things to remember about our God while we suffer these consequences as well. And so having said that, let's look at Numbers chapter 27, and I would like to read from verse 12, and this is where God announces to Moses what he is going to do to him and also for him. Reading from verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Get thee up into this Mount Abram, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. Now why? For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is, the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin." And so the Lord tells Moses that it's nearly time for him to die. And he reminds him that he's not going to be able to enter the promised land because of that sin when he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. But nonetheless, he was going to at least show him the land before he passes away. Now, this isn't the only account, or maybe even the only time that the Lord discusses this with Moses. Let's look at two other times when this topic arises between God and Moses. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 3, would you please? In Deuteronomy chapter 3, here Moses is talking to the people and he's discussing, telling the people how he wanted to go into the promised land. It says there in Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 23, "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, Thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. What we see here is that Moses did want to go into the promised land. It wasn't as though he said, oh, who cares, I'm happy with just staying on this side. I don't ever want to go into the promised land anyway. No, he wanted to go into the promised land. He asked God if he could go into the promised land. Can I go in and see the land and Lebanon and all those regions? Moses felt the loss of not being able to go into the land. And brethren, this is the nature of consequences, bad consequences, I should say. There is a feeling of loss. You have to miss out on something when you suffer wrong consequences. Moses asked if he could enjoy the land, but God's word was going to stand firm. No, you're not. And I don't want you to ask me any more about that. And we need to be very clear about one thing. This wasn't a reflection of God's love or lack of love for Moses. You know, as we read this account and we read the last account and we'll read one more account, what we do see is the tender mercies of a loving God towards his servant despite having to bring about these consequences due to his actions in his life. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy and we'll read one more, and then I want to bring some things out about this time and God's dealings with Moses. And just in case there's a little bit of confusion about which mountain he was on, from what I can gather from the experts' reading, Abiram, as we will read, was actually a mountain range. And in a part of this mountain range was Mount Nebo. And the top of Mount Nebo was called Pisgah. All right? So there are three names: mountain range, a mountain, and then the tip of the mountain. And we'll notice that. But this is when Moses had said his last words to the children of Israel. And then he was taken up to this mountain. And we read this in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zaor. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. What that means is he was a sprightly 120-year-old. He didn't die because his body stopped functioning. No, God said, now it's time to die, and he took his life from him. And so the Lord had determined that Moses would not go into the promised land because of his public sin. But there are some things that we can learn about the Lord as he deals with Moses at this time, having to suffer the consequences of that sin, that we can learn for ourselves. for ourselves. And I think it's really important to keep this in mind about our loving Heavenly Father. When we might have to suffer the consequences of disobeying God's direct commandments, and He says this is going to happen, or maybe it's just something that's happened in our life because of breaking the laws of the land, or maybe repetitively doing something that was foolish, and we have to suffer the consequences now. But there are some things that we can learn about God. This is the first thing. We do know and notice that the Lord never stopped using Moses. That's really important to keep in mind. I'm sure one of the biggest reasons why God didn't stop using Moses was because after he sinned, he didn't rebel against the Lord, but he admitted his sin and he repented and he continued to follow the Lord. And because of that, God continued to use him. Now, sure, we understand here that it was going to be limited now. God wasn't going to be able to use Moses in the promised land. And so how he was going to use Moses and where he was going to use Moses was now limited, but he still used him. Moses was still permitted, even after that very public sin and rebellion against God or disobedience against God, he was still able to lead the people, show them the way to the very promised land. God still spoke to him. God still did miracles through him. He was still able to be used. And that's really important to remember. Because sometimes when some people sin and there are consequences that maybe are known to everybody, maybe they are permanent consequences of some sort, sometimes you can think, now that I've sinned and I've acted in this way, God's never going to use me again. And you can give up trying in the Christian life. What we discover here is that if we confess our sin and we repent of our sin, God is still able to use us. And He's willing to use us. Now, depending on what our sin or our actions are that brought about consequences, God may be limited to how He can use us and where He can use us and when He can use us. But understand that God is still willing to use us. That's really important to keep in mind. That's the first thing. Second thing we see here is the Lord never stopped loving Moses. From the time that Moses sinned in that very public way to the day that he actually died, God's love and care for him was very evident. And we see his love for Moses in a number of ways. Let me point out three. First one is the Lord still spoke to Moses. Moses still enjoyed that close relationship with the Lord. He didn't say, well, I'm not going to speak to you like I have in the past. No, God still came and spoke to Moses just as he did before that very public sin. He had that communion with God still. He wasn't left out in a spiritual winter where God froze him out, never to be spoken to again. And that's something to keep in mind. Yes, we may have to suffer the chastening of the Lord, and it might be hard, but we're never left in the cold, empty, in that empty spiritual state where God refuses to commune with us. When we're repentant, He'll have us back, He'll speak to us and listen to us, and we can enjoy that relationship with Him. Just as it happened with Moses, God's love continued, and it was seen by His willingness to still speak to Moses. Another way we see how God showed His love to Moses is that the Lord didn't hold back anything good that He could give Moses. You know, the Lord could have gone to Moses and said, Moses, as I promised, time to die, and so you're going to die tonight, and he died in his tent. And God still would have been fair. But God, knowing that He couldn't go back on His word, and Moses had to suffer the consequences of his actions, He couldn't say, look, I'll let you in anyway. No, He couldn't do that. But He could show him every other blessing that doesn't break that. And he was blessed. blessed in being used, blessed in being spoken to, and even blessed in being able to see the land. It's like God said, look, I can't let you in to the land, but come up and I'll at least let you see it. God knew that would have been important to Moses. He's come out of Egypt. He suffered so much in the wilderness. Just to be able to see where he was leading the people to would have meant so much to him. And God knew he could do that. That wasn't breaking or going against any other word that he had spoken. And so God did not hold back any blessing he could show him. You know, I know that some people, when they commit sins that may be of a nature that brings great shame to them, they often think, I don't deserve anything good from the Lord. Now, the reality is none of us deserve anything good from the Lord. But they might think, now, God will not, he will make sure I'm never happy again. That's not true. When we repent of our sin and confess it and get right with him, his love continues. And that allows him to show every blessing and goodness that he is able to show. And so I don't care what sort of sin you've committed. I don't care what sort of consequences you have to suffer due to that. Don't think for one moment that when you are truly repentant, God doesn't want to bless you with any blessing he can. We see that he did that with Moses. And then we see another act of love shown by God towards Moses by the care that he showed him in his burial. As we read there in verse 6, and he, that is God, buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Get that? God buried Moses. This is a picture of genuine love and respect for this servant of his where God buried this man. We know in the New Testament that Satan wanted the body of Moses. And there was a dispute between the angel and Satan wanting the body of Moses. Maybe he wanted to blaspheme his body in some way. But God did not permit that. He made sure he was buried and cared for. We know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And this was one of his beautiful saints. And so he wanted to make sure that in his death there was respect as well. And you know, I believe this gives us an insight to how the Lord treats us as his children when we have sinned yet repented. We see here that there are times there are consequences. And some of these are temporary, some of these are permanent. But despite that, we can see that through the dealings that God had with his servant Moses, the Lord will still use us. Let's remember that. It may be in a different way, but he still will use us. The Lord will still comfort us and commune with us. And the Lord will not hold back any blessing that he possibly can give because he loves to give to his children. And we are just as precious to the Lord, and he will treat us with tenderness and kindness until the day that we die, regardless of what we've done, when we confess and repent. And so I trust that gives you a little bit of an insight to how God deals with you and me when we sin, regardless of what consequences may come to pass. But I want to just briefly look at the attitude that Moses had towards God, because this is where I believe we see how to bring about God's beautiful dealings toward us after we have sinned. We see here an example of a very humble, broken man. We don't have any doubts that Moses wanted to go into the land. We're told that. And he was given a very stern reminder from God not to ask again when he did ask. But there's no record of Moses complaining about God's decision. It's not fair. Why? I've done so much for you. I think I deserve this. There is no record of Moses complaining about God's decision. There is no record of Moses fighting against God's chastening hand and trying to sneak into the land without God's permission. Imagine if you read, Moses said, well, blow you, I think I deserve to be able to see this land. So he swims across Jordan and he goes and he enjoys the land for a little while. I'd hate to think what might have happened. But he accepted it. In fact, in these records of the time of his death, we see that Moses was simply resigned that God was going to do what he was going to do. And when he was told that he was going to die, instead of complaining about that, we see that he was more concerned about God's people than he was for himself. Turn back to Numbers chapter 27, would you please? In Numbers chapter 27, we read of the time when God told him that he was going to die and so on. And when God first told him that news, we read in verse 15, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and that which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep which hath no shepherd." And so when God says, look, you're going to die, his first response wasn't, that's not fair. No, his first response was, well, we need someone to replace me. The children of Israel, your people need a shepherd to care for them. That's what was on his mind. He was a humble, repentant sinner who had accepted God's chastisement. And that's how any humble, repentant sinner will act. You know, when you fill yourself with self-pity, thinking things are unfair, because this is the outcome, the consequence of particular sinful actions, and when you start to get angry with God, maybe blame God, blame others, as we looked this morning, that's when you can be sure that there is still a bit, or maybe a lot, of pride and self-justification. And really an attitude where you don't believe that you deserve this. And you're certainly not being humble and meek. You see, for the believer, chastisement and even consequences is not about punishment. We forget this. If you do a study on chastisement and consequences for the believer and God's people, it's never really about punishment. It is about keeping us from sinning more and hurting ourselves and hurting others around us. This is why he allows us to suffer consequences and when he is forced to chastise us. And what that means is sometimes there are temporary consequences or chastening. And that's because the Lord knows that all we need is a quick smack, a quick reminder, and he knows that we'll be back on track. But you know, if he knows that we need constant reminding. If he knows that, I know that if I don't constantly have something in their life, or if I don't have something in their life to constantly remind them not to go down that path again, they'll end up doing it. What God will do is he'll put a permanent consequence in their life. It might be a permanent shame. It might be a permanent sickness. It might be a permanent restriction of being able to be used in some way because of how we acted. But God does that not in a form of punishment, but in a way of keeping us from sinning any longer. And so that's why we're told no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, Afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening is all about bringing about righteousness in a believer's life. So, if you want to enjoy God's goodness, which is there, can I encourage you to have the attitude to whatever chastening, whatever consequences come because of your actions, have the same attitude as what Moses did, and then God will use you, he will commune with you, and he will help you and give you every blessing that he possibly can give you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we have a loving Heavenly Father. You don't look for ways to hurt us. You always look for ways to help us. And we know that sometimes the best way to help us is to chasten or to allow us to suffer the consequences of our actions. And Lord, even in those times, help us to remember it's out of love. I pray that we may consider these things. Lord, if it's not relevant for us at this moment, remember it when maybe those things come. Yet, Lord, I pray that you may allow this to be ingrained in our mind so we may know you and know how to respond the right way regardless of what you allow into our life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.